Of course, in the Buddha too, there's love, because compassion, which is the emphasis that Buddhism puts on it, is really inseparable from love, because compassion is also the realization of oneness. It's just a different aspect of it. So love and compassion are really one. They're inseparable. So Buddhism looks at it more from the point of view of compassion, but really that's what love is. The German word for compassion is not so good. I don't know if there's another word, because it reduces it to something that's not quite as profound of what real compassion is. Mitleid is suffering with another person. But true compassion does not mean that you suffer with the other person. True compassion, and I mentioned it briefly in The Power of Now, arises from the realization of oneness, and then you're faced with a suffering human being. So you bring in the empathy with the suffering as this form, because you yourself are a form and you have experienced what suffering is. So you have empathy with the suffering of other life forms, because you yourself have known suffering, maybe still know it from time to time. That's you as the form. And then you are in touch with the stillness in yourself, the presence. Presence does not suffer. And you bring that to this encounter with another human being. The two come together. The empathy with the suffering of the other human being, which comes from identifying with form. It always goes back to that. And allowing that to be, and the deeper realization of the oneness of all life, and that ultimately who they are in the depths of their being cannot be touched by the suffering. And perhaps it is the suffering that will actually get them there. So compassion and love are one. There's no wanting in love. The misuse of love is because the ego uses the word. And to the ego, love is a kind of wanting. That is expressed very nicely in the Spanish language, where the word for I love you is the same as I want you. And of course, that's very true as far as the ego is concerned. You look with love, with gentleness, with compassion upon the world. Stillness. You look upon a tree. You love that tree, not that you have to say it. It becomes reduced if you say, oh, I love that tree. It's deeper than, it's so much deeper than that. It reduces it, because I love is used so much in so many superficial senses. I love ice cream. I love suffering. Love is the essence of our gathering, and in order not to reduce it to a concept, I didn't mention the word.
A lot of Western therapeutic practices focuses on establishing a healthy sense of self. Now, according to a lot of spiritual teachings, including your own, the whole notion of a self is a construction. That's question number one. Is that so? And two, does that then make therapy and therapeutic practices in general futile?
Thank you. There are, of course, a lot of therapeutic practices that do not get you beyond getting back to normality so that you can function relatively well in this world. They may cure you of a neurosis or whatever it is. They want the normal state And normal means ultimately insane. So they bring you back to the normal state of, to normal insanity. And then you can back, go back and be a useful member of an insane civilization. But the question is interesting. Do we need to go through the development and growth of ego before we can go beyond? And it does seem that, yes, we need to go so far. It's been the case that most humans needed to go through the ego state. But at what stage of the development they dumped off, that varies. You could say, well, do we need to develop a fully functioning and healthy ego and then leave it behind? I don't believe that's the case, because a fully functioning and healthy ego ultimately doesn't even exist. Because dysfunction is part of the ego. But it does seem to be the case that